Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
I will always consider it a very big shoe, always. Anytime Pastor says, Pastor Sandra, you are teaching. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and it brings understanding to the simple. Father, our hearts are opened. We declare, Lord, our heart is simple towards your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, we receive illumination. Your word illuminates, Lord, our hearts. In the name of Jesus, thank you because we declare that we are doers of your word and not just hearers alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Say this after me. Say, I'm a doer of God's word. Amen. Say, it is given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say it again. It is given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we ready with our Bibles, our notepad, our notebooks, our pen? Amen. Let's see them. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So we'll be starting a new series today titled Rest. Say Rest. R-E-S-T. Rest. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 2. Is that other screen? Is that screen working? Okay, thank you. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 2. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 2. All right, let's read together. It said, and on the seventh day, are we reading? All right, we have the screen, right? So let's use the screen. Let's read together. 3, 2, go. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Do we have New King James? NKV. New King James. We don't have. All right, let's go back to King James then. All right, let's read together again. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Here we are seeing God resting. You know, I feel you only rest when you are tired. Abby? Okay, and here we are seeing God. Let's go to verse 2, please, media. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. Praise God. Amen. And he didn't just rest. Verse 3. Please, let's see verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So he rested the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified the seventh day. Sanctify there means to set apart. So he set apart the seventh day. Because that in it, he had rested from all his work. Praise God. Now here, Genesis is talking about God resting on the seventh day. He blessed it and sanctified it, like he set the day apart. This was a vision. You know, Genesis was written by Prophet Moses. All right, so this was a vision given to Moses. Amen? Moses was not there when God was creating the universe and the heavens, the earth, the firmament, everything. All right, this was a vision. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was written by Prophet Moses. Okay, so Moses was not there in Genesis when God did the whole creation thing. All right, but he was giving him in a vision, and in that vision, God rested. So we'll be asking ourselves, was God tired? Why would God rest? Can God rest? God is a spirit. Spirits don't rest. Spirits don't get tired. So why did God have to rest? Prophet Moses said, God rested. He blessed the seventh day. It means he hallowed it. He hallowed the seventh day, all right, and he sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work. Praise God. Now, I want us to recall that in the Old Testament or throughout the Old Testament and all the Old Testament prophets, none of them were born again. All right? None of the Old Testament folks were born again until Jesus died and resurrected and went to heaven. Nobody was saved. Amen. So, God wanted communicating some spiritual realities to them. He had to use, in the Old Testament, they had to use shadows, all right? But Pastor, I've talked about it often and often, over and over again, all right? They had to use shadows. You see Jesus teaching in parables, all right? Parables like he threw along so that they could understand. Because Bible says in the book of Corinthians, let me show you guys something. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It said, "The natural man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Amen. So a natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. That's what this place is talking about, because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. So a natural man, all right, saying somebody died for you for 3 days, and the person rose up the third day, and you placing faith in that thing the person has done will impact in you salvation. And what that thing is impacting in you is a spiritual thing that you won't die forever. Like, you're going to live with God forever. You won't perish. You will have eternal life. So in natural mind, be like, guy, what are you talking about? All right. So over and over again, we see that in the Old Testament folks, all right, the prophets, we had the Spirit of God came on them once in a while when they had a message, all right, just to say it's not like the Spirit of God was living in them, because nobody was born again. You can only have the Spirit of God in you when you are born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we see, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, only someone that is born again is spiritual. Amen. Only the born again man is spiritual. That's why you can't act spirituality. You can't claim spiritual if you're not born again. Except you are born again before you can be spiritual. So these things of the Spirit, only the spiritually and the spiritual man can discern them, can discern it. The things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we see the reason why in the vision, all right, of Prophet Moses, he saw God resting. That God was tired. He had to just rest, you know, after working and working and working. Prior to now, like, say 5-6 years ago, if I studied this place, I'd be like, ah, God rested. Me, I suppose they rest and all. But that's not the rest. So it will be, I'll be harming myself for me to use a literal sense, all right, to study God's word or something. Or I'm carrying a dictionary to keep side by side with God's word, with the Bible, to get a dictionary meaning. For example, the word death. Amen. Or life. Let's use life. Life does not mean everything, does not mean the life. You see life now, you say, okay, life you are living. The thing is that the life a normal man has is the same life animals have. Because animals die and human beings too die, right? But the life we're talking about the unlimited life. And that life can only be in you when you have received the life of Jesus. Okay, so now life is not the life of, okay, normal life. Because plants have a life. Plant, there's a plant life, there's animal life, there's unicellular life, there's multicellular lives, and so on. Alright? Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we see words like that, they don't mean the same thing across, but Pastor, I've said this over and over again. Amen. Praise God. So the Old Testament preachers, they use types and shadows, alright, to depict some spiritual realities. We know this, right? Amen. All right. So, and also we know that in Hebrews 1, can we have Hebrews 1 verse 1? Hebrews 1 verse 1. It said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Okay, in diverse manners, in different forms. God has spoken to the prophets in different ways that are not even straightforward, in ways that they cannot understand because none of them was born again. So God had to come to their level, the level of a natural man, to explain things for them, things of the spirit for them to understand. Hallelujah. He had to come to their level for them to understand so they could comprehend. Because none of them could understand the things of the spirit except you are born again. See, to you now, if I say, okay, Jesus died and was buried and he rose again the third day for you according to the scripture, you'd be like, yeah, he did. But if it's a natural man, someone that is not born again, you'd be like, hey, what are you talking about? This heresy or something. Because it'd be like, what do you mean? Okay, so let's say I'm addicted to something. I'm battling with so many kinds of addictions. And all of a sudden, I just heard a message that someone died over how many years ago. And I place my faith in what that person has done. And all of a sudden, that addiction starts drying off. It starts getting out of me and all. So a natural might be like, I don't understand. Like, how? Do you get it? Amen. So they couldn't understand. So the prophet, all right, they spoke. Okay, God spoke to the prophet. He spoke to our fathers in diverse manners. Amen. He spoke in diverse manners, in language that were not straightforward. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is another example. When Bible talked about Adam and Eve eating from the forbidden fruit, and sometimes pastors use some example, like, we don't know if it's coconut or banana and the rest, all right? No, it is not like there was a tree or something, all right? No, mind you, it was a vision. Moses was not there when they were tempted of the devil, when the devil came, and in fact, where does temptation happen? In the heart. So it means there was no the movie scene we are expecting to see and everything. All right. So even the tree of life, it just depicts the gospel. Adam disbelieved the gospel. And if you disbelieve the gospel, all right, you are doomed. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there was no tree. There was no other thing. So all these things are just, the tree of life is eternal life. The tree of life represents Jesus. Okay. I was asking a friend of mine one time, I was like, okay, so the earth, why didn't they just eat the tree, the forbidden tree, and the earth did not eat the tree of life? The guy was just laughing. It's not possible. If you read Genesis, all right, we don't have time, so we'll go straight to what we have today. If you read Genesis, I think verse, toward the end of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, yeah, you see how that God ask them to leave the garden so they wouldn't eat from that tree. You've not seen it before? You've not seen it? Amen. So he had to send them out. Because I was imagining in my head, though, just to be logical, I was like, okay, so if they eat from the forbidden tree and they later eat from the tree of life, it means man will be wearing the natural body forever. It means man will not be, anyways, I won't say it means, because before the foundation of the earth, the lamb has been slain, right? So God has already provided salvation even before man sinned. But I was just thinking, I was like, okay, so assuming they ate from the tree, and they ate from the tree of life, so they are eating life to a natural body. It means they are going to live with the natural body. There won't be salvation for them, actually. Amen. But that's just there. No. Our God is proactive, right? Amen. So he provided salvation even before man could even sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that they ate from a tree. Come to think of it, how will you believe you ate from a tree and all of a sudden you ate a fruit and that fruit defiles you? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew. Jesus, the great rabbi himself, see what he said. Matthew 15 from verse 11. Matthew 15. All right, from verse 11. Can we read together? He said, not that which... can we start from 10? Okay, let's start from here. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. Meaning, it's not what a man eats that defiles him, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. So it is what comes out of man that defiles the man, not what the man takes inside. Meaning, so any, it means unbelief. Is it from the outside in or inside out? Good. So they disbelieve the gospel. It was from the inside. It's not like a something from their surrounding or something. But if you read Genesis 9, it may look like, okay, they ate from the forbidden tree and so they were defiled. Like they ate a particular fruit or something or some kind and they were defiled. But no. But Jesus is saying, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Go to 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after here, after they heard this saying? Let's go to 13. This guy is Pharisees guy. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. This is a doctrine. Alright, it's not like a plant that my Father has not planted. This is a doctrine. Every knowledge that my Father has not planted will be removed. That's what he's talking about. 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what shall fall into the ditch? Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's stop here. Please don't want to go through another different series. Amen. So the message Moses was passing in Genesis was about Adam and Eve was to, he was talking about them expressing their unbelief, all right? It was unbelief they were expressing on the finished work of Jesus, on the gospel, on eternal life. They said they no fit. That's what they said, that they can't. Praise God. Hallelujah. So eternal life is what was depicted as a tree in Genesis, all right? In Genesis chapter 2. So if you don't read the epistle, all right, you won't understand some shadows. See, what the epistle does is it makes you understand. The epistle are the writings of the apostles, Acts. Let's use Acts. Let's start from Acts, because till the time of John the Baptist, they were under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Amen. See, what is a testament? I be a testament, I be a will. A testament is a will, yeah. You can't, if I will you my car or something, let's say I have two kids, amen, and I will them my cars or something, they won't wait for me, they won't meet me and say, mommy, it's time for you to die, give us your car keys. No, amen. The will be of no effect if I'm alive till I'm gone. All right? So, till Jesus dies, there was no New Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, another example of these shadow, types and shadow thing is in Numbers 21, verse 6. From verse 6, Numbers 21. Can we read together? And the Lord sent... Sorry, please. This is the Lord sent. Pastor, I've made emphasis on this thing. For instance, if you jump up right now, the law of gravity says if you, anything that goes up definitely comes down, right? So if I go up, you'd be expecting me to come down. So if for instance, I just said something enter my head, I want to start climbing these speakers or something, and I mistakenly fall down, did God see me falling down? But did he permit me? Okay. Did he permit me to fall down? No. You don't understand. Okay, let me make a different example. Because Solomon said their speakers will not follow. All right, let's say I climb up a building or something and I'm playing a rough play. I can't play a rough play actually. And I fall down. Like if I fall and I, let's say, break my leg or something, was God seeing it? Is it God that sent me to fall down? And the Lord sent fiery serpents. God was seeing it. Those guys, their behavior is just somewhere. If you start reading from verse 5. Let's start from verse 5. Okay. And the people speak against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul looted this light bread. You know what they were calling bread? Manna. God called it manna. They are calling it bread. Amen. So, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. So it's not God that sent serpents to bite them. God does no evil. All right. And they beat the people, and much people of Israel died. Verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Oh, Moses. That man is a very good leader. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole." Okay? Can we read together? And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent." All right. "And set it upon a pole." Okay. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Amen. Praise God. Set it upon a pole. Wow. A serpent of brass. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know, brass is a dull metal, all right? And that's a very different story already, because Jesus was made dull for our sake. Okay, if you don't get that, don't worry. Don't worry about it. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Here, you see them. You see the writer, okay, that's Prophet Moses still, in his vision here, in his writing here, in his documentation, and he wrote it, and Moses wrote it. He's the writer. He said, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon the pole, and came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So here, their deliverance or being healed is tied to looking. Okay? You have to look at the picture or the brazen serpent that was hung on the pole, all right? And if you look at it, you will be delivered. It means if the snake, or be the serpent, had bitten any of you, if you steadfastly look at the pole, you will be fine. You'll be healed. But if you just read this place, you'll be like, Jesus, that serpent, that brazen serpent is the healer. I know. You just end there. But we see Jesus explain this thing in John 3. Can we open to John 3? John 3 from verse 11. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Okay? "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Okay? 15. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," eternal life. Okay, so now go to 14, sir. 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So just the way Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness on a pole, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. 15. "That whosoever believe in him," whosoever believe in that Son of Man that will be lifted up on a pole, all right, "should not perish." So they are looking at that brazen serpent was actually believing. It was not looking to get healed. It was believing. So you see, Jesus is the substance of scriptures. Yeah, it's the substance of scriptures. You see codes, all right, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. You'll be seeing codes. You'll be seeing them. You see him as during their Last Supper, the feast, and everything. You'll be seeing Jesus over and over again because what? Jesus is the substance of scripture. And we'll be doing ourselves so much harm if we study the scriptures, the Old Testament, without the lens of Jesus. Yeah. Because Jesus is the substance of all scriptures. It is all about him. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. The scriptures testify of him. The scriptures is about him. It's about Jesus. So if we don't see it now, if we don't see it right now in Jesus' speech, we won't know that he was talking about eternal life. We won't know that he was talking about believing. If not, look at it, hand on a pole. Why can't you just keep the serpent on the ground? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see it is replicated in scriptures from Genesis to the days of John the Baptist. It was about Jesus. Till those guys were saved to start writing the epistle. They wrote the epistle from the prophets, from Psalms, all right, from the Old Testament. It was only the Old Testament they were having. Alright, they were not having the epistle. It was the apostles, alright, that started writing the epistle. Amen. Hallelujah. So we won't do ourselves any good and we won't be better students if we read the scriptures without the lens of Christ. Because he is the substance of all scriptures. Scriptures are written about him. Let me show you guys something. In Luke 24, let's see those guys on their way to Emmaus. After Jesus resurrected, I know, Luke 24. Thank you, Lord. Okay. From verse 13. Can we read together? Luke 24, 13. All right, can we read it together? It's a very long reading, but let's read. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. All right. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Do you know the things that have happened? How that the Messiah was killed, he was dealt with, he was buried, and you know, some women went early that morning, they could not see the master. What has happened to our master? Did you take my master and all that? All the story and all. And you know what? They were saying, oh, this is Jesus. He's the one that was supposed to come and save Israel. They were thinking he's the one that will come and deliver Israel from the tyranny of you get for the sake of the Israelites and all that. But they didn't understand Jesus the Messiah. Praise God. And it came to pass that while they commune together and reason, like they were discussing, the both of them, they were walking, all right, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad, like what are you guys discussing? What's making you sad? Okay? Mind you, they could not recognize him. Okay? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You are questioning the Messiah. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. See what they knew about Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that, okay. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. 22. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. They were giving Jesus' story. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So, it means the things the prophet spoke that was about him was what he was drawing their attention to. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all right? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he was so concerned about the things that were about him. He expounded to them. It was just the things that concerned him. He expounded to them. It means he will go to Moses, you go to Genesis, and will be like, okay, so the tree in the garden, oh, that was me. So he's there explaining the things that were about him in all the scriptures to them. Because he was telling them, oh, ye fools and slow of heart to believe all that. So the prophet has spoken about me, guys, he didn't believe. Amen. Praise God. So he expounded, it means he started explaining to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them the things concerning himself. We said Christ is the substance of all the scriptures. See, we can get wisdom from scriptures, all right, that really don't talk about Christ. But Christ is the wisdom of God made manifest. For example, what example am I going to use right now? Okay, for example, let's use Prophet Samuel and David. You know, when God instructed that Samuel should go and anoint a new king, and Samuel was like, guy, God, if Saul asks me, you know, he vexed too much. If he asks me, what is bringing me there? What will I do? God said, tell him you're going to worship. Was he really going to worship? He was going to worship. But in the worship, he will anoint a king. He was going to worship. He didn't lie. It's wisdom. All right? So people should not find about you, small thing about you, they are seeing you on social media, I'm getting married, I'm doing this. People should not really know things about you that way. He was going to anoint the king, but he was going there to worship. In worshiping, he will anoint the king. But how will he go and tell a king that is going to anoint a new king? They will kill him. It's wisdom. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he's not... That's now. Did you get wisdom from this thing? You see, good. That's beautiful. So things are written, all right. Things are written for us to learn. Some things are written for us in scriptures to learn. Okay, you don't just start writing, I'm engaged. Come on, guys. I know. Praise God. Amen. We're not saying you should be hiding your store, but come on, just calm down. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Alright. It's not a bad thing to say you are engaged, blah blah blah. No, but some news are not for the social media actually. Do you get it? That's wisdom. So some things are written for us, but the substance of scriptures is Christ. Alright. He's the one Moses was talking about. Okay? It's the one Moses was talking about. When Rahab was saving those guys, all right, he was the one she was saying. She was talking about him. Amen. Praise God. When David was about slaying Goliath, see, David understood the covenant. He was not talking, his strength was not from his catapult, what's it called? His strength was not on it. He was saying, you uncircumcised Philistine. And you know those guys were circumcised. He understood the covenant. He knew. All right? So he was not talking based on my strength. We've not actually started our rest topic. We are still talking about the shadow. Amen. Hope you're enjoying it. Praise God. So he understood. David understood the covenant. He understood that you don't have a covenant with God. It's me that have a covenant with God. God did not make covenant with the Philistine. He made covenant with the Israelites. He knew. That's why I was telling you, come to me with your sword. You tell, well, you come. I'll remove your head. I'll give it to the carcass. See, small boy. He knew the covenant. He was talking based on the covenant. He was not talking based on his, what? How can a stone kill? Do you know who Goliath is? It was faith that guy was talking to. Goliath was physical evidence. He doesn't care. Like, he was talking faith. That was what he was talking. He don't send you. You are big. Oh, yeah, now be big. But you don't understand the covenant. I understand it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so how did you get here? Okay, so let's go back to John, right? John 3. That we're talking about the serpent and all. So the looking here, it's actually believing, all right? Believing the gospel. But for the New Testament, explanation is simply believing. And the outcome of believing, all right, is... That's the outcome of looking is the same as the outcome of believing. So the outcome of looking is to be healed. The outcome of believing is to be saved, to be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we say the Bible has a design. We've said that design already. The design is Jesus. Okay? If we don't read the scriptures, all right, the Bible with the lens. Okay, prior to now, if you've been a very good student of God's word and you're studying Old Testament, be like, God, what did they happen? I don't even understand. You're just like, okay, oh yeah, now. But once you start getting some revelations, all right, from the episode, when you're now reading Genesis, be like, wow, boy, are you kidding me? Oh, Jesus, this is you, man. I know. Praise God. Hallelujah. So so there are a lot of types and shadows that prefigure the redemptive work of Christ. Okay? A lot of them. And one of them is what we are talking about today. Don't forget where we started from, Genesis 2, right? We are going back there. So let's go back to Genesis 2. So I said all these things so that we understand that when they say God rested, it's not like God has worked, and a guy, we're supposed to rest, we are tired, we've been working. Created is the first day, created the second day, the third day, the fourth day, and the fifth day, the sixth day, I created man, you know, and the seventh day, I'm supposed to rest now. It's a holy day, you know, a Sabbath day. And you know, some persons have believed now that you only go to church on Sabbath day. Sabbath. See, it is not about the day. It's about the person behind the day. There's a person. We said the substance of scriptures is Christ, right? It's not about the day. Let's not rush. Let's just be enjoying the move. Let's not rush. Let's read together. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God resting. But you know, when you are asleep, the real you doesn't sleep. The real you is your spirit now. Spirit don't sleep. But Pastor was giving an example, while he was saying, that is why sometimes you're shouting, you want to shout, maybe throughout the day you're busy talking, watching movies, doing this, doing that. So God wanted communicating some things to you, but guy, your mind is so busy, like you cannot even hear God. You know, you can be so busy that you can't hear God. Yeah. You'll be so busy. God is talking. For me, radio without battery. I'm just talking and all. So God waits for you to sleep. Baby. He wait for you to sleep. Then he will now give you the message in the dream. There's some people be like, any of my dreams to come to pass, you know. Every dream I dream. As babes, that's your level, Sha. But God guides us by his spirit and through his word. Yeah, so as a believer, you should sharpen your hearing ability. Your hearing ability is your heart. Okay, you need to less some talking. Some talkings are actually not important. Have you ever talked? I'd be like, let me talk like this. God, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to talk this way. Amen. So, verse 3, God hallowed the seventh day, right? And he gave, do you know, because of this thing, he gave them a law in Exodus, Exodus 16, 23. Let's open there. God hallowed it. He called the seventh day blessed. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest. If it's your Bible, if you're using a soft, hard copy Bible, you can underline this rest. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So it is a rest unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see it that you will see it. Okay, King James. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the next morning, until the morning. And they laid it up to the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm. Come on. Do you understand this, please? This is not actually the message, but I just want to say something. He asked them to keep the manna. They should gather everything against the Sabbath tomorrow, so that tomorrow they won't go and start picking. All right? Because they will just wake up and see food. God, providential God. You just wake up, you know you are coming out, you are seeing food. Like, you are just waking up, you are not even thinking it. You just open your door, you are just seeing food. Thank you, Lord. You carry your food and you go inside your house. And you told them to store. Normally, they don't store food. This food, if they store it, it will stink and you see worms start coming out. But it was a Sabbath. God was giving them instruction. He told them, on that Sabbath day, I don't want you to just keep the one you can eat for the Sabbath, the whole Sabbath day. Morning, afternoon, evening. And here he said, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. God preserved it. Like, he preserved their food. All right? So God gave them as an instruction. Where I wanted us to even open is Exodus 20 also. Exodus 20 from verse 8. Where he gave them as a law. He gave them as a law. He said, can we read together? We should know this law now. We used to memorize the law then. 3, 2, go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Why are people doing like, you are not holy, you are not law people? Say it now. 3, 2, go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Okay? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle. So even the cattle should not work. Nor thy stranger. So even if someone visits you, it should not work. That is within thy gate. 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There's something about this Sabbath, this rest. They're just saying rested, rested. The seventh day, rested, rested, rested. All right. And all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. He blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Lord called the seventh day holy. Sunday is a holy day. You're not supposed to lie. Don't lie on Sunday. Today is Sunday, they lie. Hey, Sunday. All right, so Sabbath simply means accomplished, finished, done. It means done. It means finished. It means accomplished. It means completed. And see, under the law, we saw that no one was permitted to work on the Sabbath day. No one was permitted, including cattle. No one was permitted to work. I'll still ask this question. Does God get tired? Let's know now. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Let's know if God really gets tired. You know, you're trying to work on your computer and you're trying to do some things and you just check them. Oh, I've been on this seat for like 6 hours. Are you sure I'm not resting? I'm dozing already. Let me take water. Let me sip water. I'm tired. I think my eyes look like I'm fainting. And oh, let me rest. Then finally rest. And God created the whole universe and everything. So you're supposed to rest. Abino. We are not talking. All right, let's read together. Three to go. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? Neither is weary, neither... Okay, there is no searching of his understanding. So he can't, that's all, just 28. He can't get weary. He can't get tired. So it means God can never get tired. So why did he rest? All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, it was just a shadow. I told you, shadow is just an explanation. It has deeper realities. Okay, it was just a shadow. Okay, so man was created the sixth day. Let's go to that Genesis. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. Okay, he said, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day, and all his work which he had made. All right, so this is the drama. God created man on the sixth day, right? And man was waking up to rest. Okay, God created man on the sixth day. After creating everything. Everything, like everything. It means man just woke up to an already made reality. God created man on the sixth day. Man was waking up the seventh day in rest. Like, he was not waking up to go, what am I going to eat now? He was waking up to an already made reality. The first demand was to start living was, how do you spell holiday? Holiday is what? H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, right? Holiday. So man was waking up to a holy day, which is a holy day. Do you get it? It was a holy day. We read it already that God set apart that day to rest. So man was waking up to a holy day. There's actually a holy day. He was waking up to a holy day, like a holy day that is a accomplished day, is a finished day, like a done day. He was not waking up to work. He was waking up to rest. Man was waking up to a rest day. Are you lost? Okay. Yes, you are getting it, right? Okay. All right. So it means man just had to just show up, boom, and was doing nothing. He didn't have to say, oh, I need, oh, what next? Oh, I need to do this. Oh, no. He just came, boom. And he was just leaving. The man was resting in peace. Hey, God. Amen. Wow. So man had to do nothing. Okay? So God hallows faith in him because rest is accomplished, finished. So God sees as holy faith in his finished work. God's finished work is done by Jesus. Any man that places faith on the finished work of Jesus is resting. Any man that places faith in the finished work of Jesus, the man is resting. Okay? Can you imagine? The Pharisees could not understand. Did you see Jesus healing a man that was sick on the Sabbath day? And they were not concerned about the person behind the Sabbath. They were concerned about keep the Sabbath day holy. All right? In Exodus, we just read the law. They were concerned about the law, but there was a picture behind the law. They didn't know. They didn't want to know. And what was the picture behind? Jesus healed a man that was sick. He healed him completely on the Sabbath day. They were just so concerned that it was a Sabbath day. How will you do this? It's a Sabbath day. You are breaking the law of Moses. Blah, 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 and all that. Pharisees, so far to see the truth. They can't see it. They were not seeing it. But they were not worried that this man is sick for so long and no one could have healed him. They were just so concerned that it was a Sabbath day. So they actually hallowed the day without knowing the person behind the day. Because to them, it was a law. Okay, observe the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day holy. All right, because God rested. And they didn't know the magic behind the resting. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they felt it was like a day, you know, a Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day prefigures the redemptive work of Jesus. That's why it prefigures. That any man that have come into Christ, you don't need to do anything to get acceptance before God. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do to gain acceptance, all right, from God is to believe. What are you believing? His own finished work in his son Jesus. We said Sabbath is what? Accomplished, right? Jesus' work is an accomplished work. It's a done deal. It's a done work. Like his finished work. So the man that has placed faith in what Jesus has done or what God has done through his son is that man that is resting. Our message is not quit the smoking, quit the, you know, today some funny things were happening in my compound. I was just inside the room, I beg. I don't have time for all those stress. I think people were fighting or something. I know. It's either fight or quarrel. Serious fights. Like, if the voice was what even woke me up, I know. After they've settled and everything, later I came out. I was like, how far? What's happening? I don't like fight too. They complain. I don't know what brought the discourse. I think, okay, I was actually doing something and the lady was like, you know, all these pastors, they pretend. See? And funny enough, when she was saying this, she was saying, will not we be pastor? Will not they pretend? I was like, okay, me, like, what did them do? Like, I was doing them, not we be. She was like, she courted the pastor. The pastor had some, I say, you. Because you know the pastor weakness, you didn't misbehave. If God hammer you, that's what I told her. Because she was saying some funny stuff that they are pretending that she have they two pastors. I say, shame no even cut two. Two pastors. since she knew them, if they are not teaching, she just look at them and be like, now you. I say, oh, because you've known their weaknesses, right? And you are saying this thing. The day we fire go burn your mouth. When I told her this thing, I was like, hey, is it me that said this thing? I know. You get it. You don't see that. So when I said that thing, she was like, eh, not true. I said, yeah, not true. Maybe even, eh, not true. Like, you don't do that. You don't, because you've seen, they are called men of God, right? This means they can make mistakes. So you don't glorify yourself in their mistakes. You don't see things like that. In fact, when you see things like that, close your eyes, go inside, go pray. I told her, God's calling on a man's life is without repentance. If God has called you, right, God is not looking for you to be already made. He wants you the way you are. Come. God does not tell you, go and take a bath, then I will call you. Uh-uh. He will call you and bath you. He will bathe you. Do you get it? Then he will clean you. That's what God, that's the God we know. All right. I said, you did make mistakes. Man of God, you didn't make mistake. No, you didn't make mistake. Maybe because I used mistake. You didn't sin. You know when you use mistake, you look somehow. Sure, you didn't sin too. I know. You get it? People make mistake. I know. We are not trying to applaud mistakes or something. All right? But as far as now, is man of God. Is set apart. As far as is man, believers are set apart. But see, man of God. See, the man has God's honor on him. The woman has God's honor. It concerns you how you usually see the person. But that person has God's honor. So if you do anyhow, you say anyhow. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Please don't join that discourse. Don't ever. Don't. Because before you know, you are corrupted. You find yourself saying things that you're not supposed to say. If you're actually prayerful, when you go back to pray, that's when God's spirit and God's word will fire, beats you. Start crying, and God will embrace you, you know. Amen. So, they accused Jesus of breaking the law. And they didn't know the significance of the law. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, it was not about the day. It is the man, okay, who chose the day. See, for instance, Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of believers. And Bible did not give a specific day. Some people, some believers somewhere in this world have said that Sabbath is Saturday. They go to church in the morning and come by in the night. No, voila. But it is humans that chose calendar. God does not have calendar. God does not work with time. God works in eternity. It's we that place time, you know, and alter our schedule and everything. All right. So God did not say, believers, meet Sunday for your fellowship and all that. Bible just say, do not forsake the gathering of the believers, okay, as some of you are doing. I know. So it is we that said, okay, Tuesday, Cornerstone Christian Center, we are meeting Tuesday, 5:30. Okay, Sunday, we are meeting by 7:45 a.m., first service, second service, 9:30 a.m. Now, we choose them. God did not say, what day are you choosing, brethren? You have to, you know. God didn't choose it. We chose it ourselves. All right? So you can't assume a Sabbath is a day. Sabbath is a person. Sabbath is rest. Sabbath is accomplished. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Sabbath is a person. Amen. And the thing is, God works with what you've chosen. We chose Tuesday, all right? That's how our meeting is supernatural. We chose Sunday. That's how our meetings are supernatural. Some people choose Mondays. Like some countries, they go to work even Sundays. But Mondays, they go to... Sunday is not... It's Sabbath Sunday. All right. So you can choose any day. We chose Susu Day and all, and that's why we come. We get supernatural things done and all that. Amen. We get things done rather supernaturally. Praise God. So God blessed the finished work of His Son, that whosoever will believe the finished work, not on his own personal work, to gain acceptance, is a blessed man. Okay? Anyone that places faith on what Jesus has done, the person is a blessed person. The person is resting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't get acceptance from God by your own work. We have been singing this thing. We always sing it. It is not by work, so that no man can boast. If it was by work, people would be boasting right now. I don't think anybody can be sitting next to anybody, like waiting. It's me. It's by me. And the shoulder will be increasing on a daily. Amen. But it is not, so that no man can boast. All right? So we don't get acceptance by our work. Amen. We don't get acceptance because... It's not it. Hallelujah. So it's in the epistle we saw that the rest day. Let's open to Hebrews so that we'll see the epistle explaining it. Hebrews 4:3. Are we getting blessed at all? The voice is very low. Are we getting blessed at all?
Yes,
Hebrews 4 from verse 3. Let's go to verse and chapter 3. Let's see verse 17. I think we should start there. The Bible was not written in chapter and verses, okay? So, okay, but let's read together. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was he not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Okay? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? I don't take us to Numbers, okay? Where Joshua and Caleb and those other spies were sent to check what's happening in that land, and they came back. Those guys came back with bad reports. Only Joshua and Caleb came with a very good report. Those other guys were like, we are like grasshoppers. Okay, if you see, like we, they were like grasshoppers. You know, that's faith. That's their faith, actually, that they were like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. It means they didn't understand the covenant that God had with them. Amen. So, because of all this, God's like, these guys, you will not go see that promised land. Should be you are there. You cannot enter. You're like grasshoppers and all that. So, let's go to... So, these are the persons the writer of Hebrews was talking about. So, let's go to chapter 4. From verse 1 or verse 3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So the gospel was preached to them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Who has entered into rest? He said, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from...
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website, www.cornerstoneglobal.org. Or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.